I can't see Lauren's face.
Yeah.
Entertaining motion to come back from executive session to regular session.
Get little pockets in front.
You got it.
Motion, Mr. Phillips, second, Mr. Wilson. Any question on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Cole.
Yes.
Phillips.
Yes.
Wilson.
Yes.
Well, yes, motion carried. Mr. Moore, any possible action from executive session?
There is not, Mr. President.
We will now go to our scheduled 11:15 public hearing. Mr. Moore.
Thank you, Mr. President. Now is the time and place for a public hearing on two proposed ordinances. The first is an ordinance providing for the additional temporary extension of time for subdivision applications, conditional use applications, and residential planned community districts. And the other is an ordinance providing for the additional temporary extension of time for subdivision applications, conditional use applications, and residential planned community districts with a provision for further extension upon written request. At this time, Mr. Lank, aided by the Assistant County Attorney Vince Robertson for Planning and Zoning, will make presentations. We're going to hold the public hearings simultaneously so that when someone discusses the proposed ordinance, they can discuss both of them. And then, obviously, when we vote, they would have to be voted on separately. Mr. Lank.
Yes, thank you. Before you, you have a report from the Planning and Zoning Commission in reference to their public hearing on January 10th, 2013, which was last Thursday. And that report, as Mr. Moore stated, the commission did the same thing. They held a public hearing on both ordinances at one time and then made separate decisions. The two ordinances for purpose of introduction, one is an ordinance providing for the additional temporary extension of time for subdivision applications, conditional use application, residential plan community districts. And the second is an ordinance providing for an additional temporary extension of time for subdivision application, conditional use application, residential plan community districts with a provision for further extension upon written request.
Does it say who has to write to whom?
Pardon?
In the ordinance, who's writing to whom? Individual letters or what?
No, the applicant would, in the second ordinance,
mm-hmm.
the intent was that the applicant provide us with written affidavit information, et cetera, that would show what they've done,
right,
what they've improved, and what they're requesting.
So each applicant would write to Planning and Zoning?
Right.
Okay.
And then the commission would have to review it.
Mm-hmm.
On each individual basis and make a determination if that was adequate information to consider an extension.
Okay. Thank you.
As I said before, you have a copy of the report of the Planning and Zoning Commission. Mr. Robertson made several statements in reference to what is proposed of the ordinances. There was reference given that we could consider 1, 2, or 3 year extensions. There could be a need for administrative changes. There could be a need for ordinance changes. We basically went through the text of the ordinance. It's all in your report. And I gave information about the number of applications, the number of time extensions, the number of people that have requested time extensions in the last, say, 6 months or so. I believe the first one was August of 2012. And there was five requests that I responded to. And we advised those that requested information or time extensions that we didn't, the staff nor the commission had the authority to grant an extension because the ordinance had the deadline date of January 1st of 13. And then that was 9 other applications that were requested time extensions, more in December probably, late November, early December. So we didn't give them notice. They had pretty much been told personally, orally by staff. That they couldn't get extensions.
They could not get extensions.
That we don't have
right.
the authority.
They can't, right.
They could
okay.
not, right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Joe Conaway, president on behalf of CDAC, and Rodney White, director of operations for Artesian Resources, were present and gave testimony before the commission last Thursday. The commission, and again, the commission discussed it. Mr. Robertson gave some overview. Mr. Conaway later stated and agreed and added that too many paper lots and the continued existence of lots on the county's records that will never really get built and referencing, for example, where the land is returned to agriculture preservation, had been an issue with a number of his members of his group. Mr. White agreed also with the statements made and noted that some of their projects that they have put in and required improvements for DLDOT, but they're still working and negotiating with the Department of Natural Resources and Environmental Control, trying to get their approvals. So that they question the amount of time for utility companies. In reference to the ordinance providing for the additional temporary extension of time for subdivision applications, conditional use applications, residential planning community districts, Mr. Johnson said he would move that the commission recommend a revision to the drafted ordinance with an additional time extension to January 1st of 2016, and that the ordinance be retroactive back to January 1st of 2013. The retroactive portion was just to, so that there wasn't a void in between the dead-end date of the original ordinance 2208 and the today's date, basically. There was a motion and a second. Motion by Mr. Johnson, seconded by Mr. Ross, carried unanimously to forward this ordinance amendment to the County Council with a recommendation that the ordinance amendment be approved with a revision of an additional time extension go to January 1 of 2016 and be retroactive back to January 1 of 2013, and that motion carried 5-0. In reference to the second ordinance, an ordinance providing for the additional temporary extension of time for subdivision applications, conditional use applications, residential plan community districts, with a provision for further extension upon written request, Mr. Smith stated he would move that the commission recommend denial of this drafted ordinance due to the administrative burden on the staff and the commission. There was a motion by Mr. Smith, seconded by Mr. Burton, carried unanimously to forward this ordinance amendment to the County Council with a recommendation that the ordinance amendment be denied for the reasons stated, and that motion carried 5-0. So we have a recommendation for the approval of an ordinance providing for the additional temporary extension of time for subdivision applications, conditional use application, and residential plan communities with the reference extension to January 1 of 2016 and retroactive back to January 1st of 2013. And I hate being repetitive, but that's what we did.
Okay. And that's all I have. Mr. Robertson, did you have anything that you wanted to add as well?
Just real quick, I'll sort of summarize it. There was three and then really sort of a fourth alternative. One alternative is not to do anything, and basically everything lapsed then that, you know, wasn't underway as of the end of last year. That's one alternative. The second alternative would be to grant a blanket time extension. The ordinance was introduced with a one-year time extension. Planning and zoning recommended 3 years instead of just 1 year. The third alternative was that, to summarize it and simplify it, you would get a three-year or some time extension if you submitted a written request for that, and the applicant would have to submit that request. And what was detailed was there would have to be a development schedule, the applicant's sort of project schedule as far as when they anticipate build-out, a list of governmental agency approvals that have been attained, and just an explanation of why they want the time extension. And under that scenario, planning and zoning would consider that request and then act on it if good cause was shown. The fourth was one that I suggested to the commission at the hearing based upon feedback that I was receiving, and that would be rather than the commission having to decide whether there was good cause for the grant of the extension if they submitted the application in writing, that if you submitted it and just gave that information, it would be approved. So there wouldn't be any real discretion there. The thought behind the written request was not to place a burden on folks that have an application that they want to see through to completion. Really, it was the opposite of that. It was to get the approved lots or projects that are just flat, expired, dead, whatever, not going to get built. Just get those off the county's records.
And the best way to do that is what?
Well, the way we had proposed it was the folks that have, that they want to go forward with their application, they would just submit in writing the request to do that. Right. So by default, if you didn't submit something in writing,
and at what
then
point
it would come off the book.
Would they do that? At what point?
They would have until, as it was introduced, until June 1st of 2013 to do that. The way it was introduced, you'd have to request, everybody would get an extension until June 1st of 2013, between now and then, you would have to submit that written request. And if you did, you would get your extension till either the end of this year or planning and zoning. I guess they talked about 3 years. It would be some time period like that.
Well, do these projects that had no interest in the, and there's no intention really, the applicant is just unable to proceed, are we keeping them on the books where someone else could make use of that property? Are we keeping progress from happening on those properties? In other words, would it be, are we extending paper lots for that aren't going to be built anyway, but nobody else can build because it's still valid? I don't know. You know.
No, under what was recommended by the Planning and Zoning Commission, everything that's gotten approval as of the end of last year would continue for some period, whether it be 1 year or 3 years or 2 years, whatever you all decide. So it would pick up everything. So under your situation, you know, the scenario you described, if, you know, there was an application for a subdivision that, you know, nobody has any intention of building, theoretically, somebody could come along and pick it up.
They could, then, as it is.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And there have been several that have been picked up in the last few years.
So it's not tying up any kind of progress there.
Uh-huh. We've had several applications that have gone to agricultural use. We had at least five subdivisions that were approved and recorded that have now, two have gone to conversion to the Ag Preservation, to the Department of Agriculture Land Preservation Foundation.
People in my district would jump up and down and clap their hands about that.
Oh, I know. And then there's three that have gone to ag production that have been purchased by neighboring farms that don't want subdivision next door, so they went ahead and purchased.
I'll be doing.
At agricultural prices by chance. Mm-hmm. So that those probably weren't going to be developed.
Explain them, because I know for years we were always able to give extensions when people made a request and came in front of the council. If we do nothing, there's nothing to prevent somebody out there with a subdivision to come in and say, look, I've been doing this, here's what I, you know, make a case in front of the council and ask for an extension, right?
Well,
if we do nothing. What happens if we do nothing?
We changed that ordinance, I don't know, a couple of years ago, Everett, where we gave everybody, it was 1 year, and then you came in with the right to request additional 1 year extensions.
Right.
At that point, we changed it to be 3 years, and that was it for subdivisions and conditional uses and RPCs. And so, you know, I think the 3 years would make it tough for somebody after that to come back in. It's been the position, really, that they'd have to reapply at that point.
We can't extend any on the 3 years. We can't extend on that.
Well, that's a different issue. I mean, then we're going back into the code and saying, all right, we're going to change what that code section says to 5 years. What we're talking about today is an extension of all those prior approvals that have been granted.
Mm-hmm. You know, let me ask Lawrence, what do you like? What do you think is the most equitable, fairest way in
Fairest way to the staff?
I know.
A quick answer on that one.
It's our.
It's easier for us to have a dead end date.
Right.
Because now, if we go with the second ordinance that provides for the written comments and requests, we would probably have to give notice to those parties that are subject to the June 1st deadline to give us a request.
Wake them up.
Then they have to turn around and respond and give us the information. Then we have to schedule the commission to review each one and determine if they're still valid and if they would get extension. It would be a lot of more paperwork that way than the other method.
Mr. Lank and I have a disagreement on that one. I don't know that if we enact any ordinance that we have to give people notice of that. I think that,
It just seemed like a courtesy.
I mean, that's more of a courtesy.
It just seems like the right thing to do is what
I don't want there to be any, misconception that that's a legal requirement.
No, just a courtesy notice.
Right, okay.
If we didn't give a courtesy notice,
but that's the disagreement, just on that, giving notice.
Yeah.
Okay, I understand. Okay. So, yeah, I mean, I don't, again, I don't know if this activity you showed us here would have occurred anyway. Was there anything that the current ordinance did to, I believe it was supposed to do something with, helping the economy, boost the economy, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, the impact with body ordinance was we granted an extension of time for what we really anticipated or proposed was for 2 years, and it came out to be about a year and a half after the council actually approved the ordinance. That's the 2208. Now we're back before you tonight or today trying to get another time extension because the economy's according to the developers, and just not happening yet enough to keep these, get these projects in to get the approval process done.
So
what is it, Senators or something that's sold out and hasn't been built? Is that the Shell Brothers project in
Lingo?
No, the Senators project is an individual project.
Governors,
was approved.
Gills Neck Road, it hasn't
bonded
even,
and it's under
it's
construction.
Sold.
It's under construction now.
Uh-huh.
And they could sell the number of lots that were bonded.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I'm just pointing
normal.
Out that
that's a small phase, but they're going to continue.
There's building all over my district. So they're saying the economy's bad. It is. It's not bad here, but I'm sure it's bad.
No, I hate to tell people this, but it's all about location and price. And if you've got the right location, you've got the right price point, you're going to have a good project in any market. And we are seeing that. I mean, this is government supposedly stepping in to trying to, you know, make the economy do something. We can't. We can never do that. And so I would rather keep it as simple as possible. We've got a lot of this stuff on paper that is never going to be done. I'd love to let that go, because inventory, some too much inventory waters down what's on there, which is good. So, I mean, it just let the marketplace work, and how can we step back and allow it to work and not burden it with, you know, these silly ordinances that may not really have any effect. So what is the simplest way to it?
Well, I think the simple, and that was a question that was raised at the Planning and Zoning Commission, and Mr. Conway was there and spoke, and that was a question that was posed, you know, for the folks that he works with, is the fact that, you know, we have the quote-unquote paper lots, is that a real issue? Is it a perceived issue, or is it a real issue? And I think, Mr. Conway said, really, it's not really an issue. You know, and so the simplest one, if that's the question, would be, you know, you all have to determine the time, but just grant the extension. I mean, I suppose the simplest would not to be to do anything, but I don't think, you know, that's, we've had these two ordinances introduced. I don't know that that's the direction council wants to go. So if there's going to be some action taken, it would be to just grant a blanket extension for some period of time that you all, you know, decide on.
Well, I don't get the theory. Why not just extend them forever?
Yeah. That's the way it used to be.
I don't get
once they were recorded,
the
they went on forever until they were developed.
And then we put in sunsets, right?
And then some of those never got developed, even again. And we've boarded like 14 projects out at the very beginning. That never developed.
Any other questions from council? If there are no other questions from council, this is time and place for the public to comment on this. If you would like to speak on either of these two ordinances, if you come forward, come to the podium, and give us your full name and address, please. Mr. Conaway.
Yeah, excuse me. My name is Joe Conaway, 105 Delaware Avenue in Bridgeville. I'm here speaking in behalf of the Sussex County Economic Development Committee, and I want to go directly to George's question. I agree with you, George. Let's let the marketplace decide. So do away with your sunset ordinance, because that controls the marketplace. Can't have it both ways. And I happen to agree with you on another aspect, that the sunset ordinance does have a place.
You know,
and that at some point in time that, you know, that subdivisions should be built or not built, period, and done away with. But you can't argue the marketplace should create who goes forward and then argue the other way when you've got an ordinance that doesn't allow that to happen, because everything is sunsetted at this point in time. I don't know that I can add anything that has been said. We believe it will help. I gave some examples. Admittedly, it's not Sussex County, but as an example in Bridgeville, because the economy went south, 3,400 lots went with them. They are now back in ag production, zoned R1. There are other lots that are available. I can name Elizabethtown as an example, that although it is an RPC, which would be covered by this, and the density that you said would be in place, if you allow this to expire, then Elizabethtown can be built at great densities, greater than what you wanted, because the zoning is in place. Remember, it's an overlay zone, so that you placed the RPC on top of the existing zoning. I don't represent them. I use that as an example.
You say it's possible. that could happen.
Oh, yeah. Well, they have the zoning approvals to go forward because mm-hmm. it is a zoning which runs with the land and didn't expire. Mm-hmm. We had all hoped that the economy would turn and that we wouldn't be in front of you. Again, the economy is slowly turning. You're absolutely right, Councilman Deaver. There is work going on. I can even tell you in Bridgeville there are lots being developed. Things are starting to turn, but not at the level. There are projects that are all through the process. I'll give you another example. And this was not an example that involved county government, had to be in Newcastle, but an applicant who applied with commercial land 900 feet on Route 40 with a red light on both ends of his property, an existing commercial property, had been there for 40 years, had two commercial entrances. When he first applied for a shopping center and a single entrance, the highway department turned him down. Took him eight, and this is with the county's approval, took him 18 months to get a single application. And of course, it cost $500,000 of lost efforts and additional engineering to prove what, from the, you know, I can't understand why that would be even a consideration when you have two existing entrances and can't get but one. That's the problem that people are running into. It's the length of time, and it's not your people. It's the state people that cause so much of a delay in projects. Now, counties, or the governor did sign an executive order where there are hearings going on as to improvements that ought to be made in the departments. And I can tell you that that's not going to work as well as the governor had hoped because people won't show up. They won't show up because they know that if they have a project to come after the one that's caused the problem, that they may cause themselves some additional problems because payback is you know what. It's difficult to be in front of you asking for relief when the problems are created by other agencies that you all have nothing to do with. But time is of no consequence, it appears to me, when we talk about the state bureaucracy. The county folks have always been very cooperative and work with you as you go through the process and tell you straight up what you should do and what you shouldn't do. We understood there was support for the developer, the owner of the property, to step forward and ask, and thought that had merit, but we were concerned that it would cause unfair burden for the county staff, and that's exactly what it would do, and I think that's, having listened to the debate by the Planning and Zoning Commission the other night, that was their concern. They'd end up having all these letters. They'd have to have all these discussions, and the time frame would put more work on them. And then the concern, as Vince clearly pointed out, what does substantial mean, meant that they would just get an application now because they'd have to change that to mean if you tell us what you've done, we're going to approve it, kind of seems really bureaucratic, and that's not what this government has been noted for. It's been a government of the people by and large. So. We think that it has merit, and George, of course, I'm older than you, but I'll not be back in 2016 asking for more. Either things will be better or there'll be somebody else doing this work. And again, we're hopeful that things will go forward. As an example, Bayless Estates was approved last planning and zoning meeting. And it would not have been on the agenda if the original extension that you granted 2 years ago had not been done. And it was because it took us that long to get through all the process. And that actually involved a great deal of help from the county engineers to get annexed into the Oak Orchard system. System works. It's a relief. We went in, CDAC asked for two, understood one may be what we were given. The planning and zoning had a much better understanding of the time frame than even we did and suggested 3 years. And so I'm here to support the recommendation of the Planning and Zoning Commission. We'll answer questions, but I'll shut up and sit down. I know the utilities, the private and public utilities, have a different view, and they're here to testify as well. So, and I don't talk for them.
Yeah, you know, these people who applied, sunsets were in place when they applied.
Mm-hmm.
So you're talking about changing that? And
no, I'm not talking about changing the sunset.
We need to tell people if we're going to do away with sunsets. It's a big issue.
Well, I mean, my point, Ms. Deaver, was to George's point, that let's let the marketplace decide. And I'm saying that's fine, but you can't have it both ways. If the sunset says this is when it dies, that determines the marketplace, period. I think it does. And that was my point. I'm not suggesting that we do away with sunsetting. I think you may want to go back and look at some of the things that go on with sunsetting to make sure they're happening. I gave an example of how sunset works. Before I actually became county administrator, there had been an approval of a subdivision up in the Ellendale area, not on sewer, 5,000 square foot lots on individual septics, 400 lots. Well, we all know that that just never could have happened. But that ordinance, eventually, this first sunset you put in place, took that ordinance, had been there 20 years, off the books. A good move. And we think that those kinds of situations are out there and need to be corrected. But again, the sunset ordinance is a good ordinance. It probably needs some reexamination. But this has nothing to do with sunsetting. It has something to do with people who are trying to do what you gave them approval to do and just can't get through the process in the timely fashion that in the past we could have. We just can't do the 3 years. So that's...
Joe, yeah. There's only one thing you upset me with is when you stated you'd be
just
back.
Just one
you,
thing.
Well, there was other things. The sunsetting, yeah. We'll argue that later. But the 2016, you said you'd be back.
No, I said I won't be back.
You won't be back. Oh, no. Good, because I was afraid you said you were going to be back because I was going to then reconsider my retiring.
Well, George, I've been urging you to run anyhow.
I'm definitely not leaving until you're out of the picture.
Well, I don't know, George. My wife doesn't like me for lunch.
I want to see you in Florida.
Joanne says to me that she married me for better or worse, but not for lunch. So.
Okay. Well, if we do, anytime we extend these things, we are propping up the value of the property. And it's certainly a gift from the government, should we do this kind of thing, every time we do it. It's government interference in the market, as a matter of fact.
Well, as I know from my experience in government, we interfere in the marketplace all the time.
I don't see
well,
it
that's
as
your
a gift.
Experience.
I don't see it as a gift. We put this arbitrary sunset period on. That's a penalty, in my opinion. Just trying to level the playing field. Thank you, Mr.
Thank you. Someone else? Yes, Mr. Kramer.
My name is Dan Kramer, 8041 Scott Store Road. You know, I don't understand. I've never had understood this. Why is there a time limit on anything? First of all, you're talking about, I don't know which is the worst. You guys, DENREC, or DELDOT? Because you guys put the stipulations, you just done put on a ton of stipulation on the guy out on the road there in Seaford of what he has to do. So then he has to go up here and kiss everybody and hope and spend tons of money to try to get a business in place. So you're just as much at fault as anybody else is. So why don't you open this thing up in 2016? Guess what? They're going to be back. Somebody's going to be back. Because it's not going to work. So why don't you open it up? Oh, but it's on paper. So who cares if it's on paper? There's a lot of things on paper. Doesn't mean it's ever going to get built, but that's none of your business at all. Because you shouldn't tell the person that he can't after a while. Well, because you didn't do this, it now becomes null and void after he's spent tons of money to try to get through the project. And he's waiting. In the meantime, if he could have sold the property, some other developer could come in and develop it. And by the way, I was at those meetings, two of the meetings, and as far as I'm in DelDOT and DENREC hearings, and I'll tell you, you're right. There weren't very many people there, because as far as I'm concerned, they're a bunch of gutless people, and who is at fault is the legislators right in Dover, because the turkeys don't get off their turkeys to get anything done because they made the laws. They actually make the laws in a sense to help you guys to prevent something, because DelDOT has the power to tell you, no, you're not going to have that entrance. You want it? $50,000. How many people can afford to have a $50,000 entrance for a little small business if they can't afford it? So get out of the way and let the economy roll. But you guys are just as much fault as anybody. You all have a good day.
Thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to speak in regards to this matter? Mr. Wyatt.
Good morning, Mr. President and other members of the County Council. My name is Rodney Wyatt. I'm the Director of Operational Compliance for Artesian Water. My address is 7 North Horseshoe Drive, Milford, Delaware. I'm here not only representing Artesian, but also representing the other utility providers in Sussex County. We submitted a letter of support to the CDAC's request for the extension of the ordinance. I have a copy of the letter. I think it was included in your package back when CDAC put the report together, but I do have another copy if someone would like to reference it. I'm not going to take the time this morning to read the letter. I don't think that's important. I think the important thing is to let you know that the utilities did support a request for an extension. The reason why we supported it is several fold, but one was that we felt that an extension would assist in the county's economic growth and recovery. We see some positive signs out there, so we would like for those signs to continue. Some of the other reasons why we support it is because we think it's very important that it continues so that we can provide a cost-effective utility service to the customers, which are Sussex County residents. It allows us to fully utilize our infrastructure. And if we fully utilize our infrastructure, you know, that will lower the rates to our customers. Just to give an example, what deadlines do to a utility, in this case, it causes us to spend money that we wouldn't normally spend at this time in the process. An example, you know, to meet the fact that we're moving forward with construction on a property, when it comes to a deadline, then we have to put in an access road or part of the utility that's not ready to be used. So when we do that, it costs us more money. And whether it's, you know, transformers for a substation for electrical utility, or an entrance to one of our sites for water use or wastewater use. So I attended the Planning and Zoning Commission hearing. I think you have some very intelligent people on the Planning and Zoning. They reviewed the issue, and their discussions was very right on point as far as I'm concerned. And again, we would as utilities recommend that the council consider the extension that was recommended by the Planning and Zoning Commission.
And you have one that expired, don't you?
Excuse me?
The facility just north of Milton.
Yes, on that particular facility, we have done all of the utility work and installation work that we have permits for, mm-hmm. And you know, we haven't received a notice that it has expired, but we certainly have done all the construction work that's necessary, so that would be a decision that would have to be made, yes.
But January 1st was the date. Mm-hmm.
January 1st was the deadline on that particular utility, yes. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And you feel that that there aren't other opportunities for customers? You think that these old applications that go back pretty far are so valuable that, I mean, do you have contracts now with people that you're worried about?
Yes, I'll give you an example, okay? Let's just go to the Answer facility that you referenced. Okay, it's sort of a catch-22 situation. As a public utility, we are asked to provide willing and able to serve letters to projects, okay, which are used for their approval before the Planning and Zoning Commission. So we have to be in the forefront of planning and designing for these projects. But so they're depending on us. So if our project, which we need to get approval of the land use first, because if it's not an appropriate place for it, we don't want to do all the other work. So we get the approval for the land use, and then we have all kinds of other work that we need to do. And at the same time, we're serving projects that are depending on using our water and wastewater facility and electrical facilities. So we have to move these projects through in the design phase. Now, if these projects stall, as a utility that's subject to the Public Service Commission, it looks bad if we start just putting in infrastructure, okay, so that we meet your deadline that the people aren't ready to use. Because in the long run, the user pays for the cost. So that's what's called stranded investment, and it really is not good for the customer. So getting back to the point of, we have like a contract with Georgetown to provide them 1 million gallons. We have a contract with the estates of Sandhill Valley to provide their 500 lot subdivision. We have a contract with Hastings Hollow. We have a contract with Woodfield Preserves.
Are any of them going to expire?
Of those projects are approved and are not subject to this extension.
Not subject to it.
No.
So they're good anyway.
They're good.
Yeah.
But the problem is if our facility, our electric facility, was considered you expired, you got to start over, then how are those projects going to move forward?
Well, of course, somebody, I mean, I feel that if in, there's been investment and there's been work on the project, I see no reason why county council would turn it down. I mean, I'm not looking at that. I'm looking at, like George said, I think it's reasonable just to say, look, we've done this, this, and this, and that's enough, you know, to extend the thing. But I'm just wondering what the... what the utility's concern was specifically. That's what I'm
saying.
Well,
I mean, that's our concern. Our concern is that we have given commitments, and if those projects are turned down that we've committed to, then basically other projects have to pick up infrastructure cost. And we have users all over the county. And if the project continues to go forward and our project's turned down, then we're in a catch-22 situation because their projects is without a utility service.
I don't see any possibility of that. But, okay, I understand what you're saying. My problem is that I've got 10,000 new people in my district.
Mm-hmm.
They talk a lot, and they have a lot to say, and they don't like everything that's happening. And those are the changes that are happening between the time somebody applied for something, maybe 5 or 6 years ago, till now. And they would have expired. And that's what I'm dealing with, is the folks that now they're new here. They don't want that. That's what I deal with.
Anyway, I understand. I'm a utility provider, yeah. So that's not that's
we basically
way above
here.
Me.
There are changes and good reasons for sunset quick. Because there are changes.
Well, you know, I think all of the utilities feel that the deadline that's imposed by the ordinance is basically an impediment for them providing the most cost-effective utility, mm-hmm. because a deadline requires us to put in infrastructure that is not ready to be used. An example, the county engineering department would not put in infrastructure that's not going to be used. Just
Rod, wait a minute now. If the developer contract, in other words, what we have here is a lot of paper developments, a lot of paper contracts.
Right.
You got a contract with a developer, and you're not going to put any infrastructure in until... Or actually, you probably require the developer to put the infrastructure in, similar to what the county does, and then you know buy it off of them or you accept it or whatever. But you're not putting in much infrastructure out there, running up and down the roads to nowhere. You come in, you know, as the planning goes on. So I mean, there's a lot of work's been done, even though you've got a contract to provide it. Before you've spent it, other than your contract work with your attorneys, you probably haven't spent hardly much money until that contract or that development gets, you know, quite a ways into the system and going forward. And then you know it's going forward. You're not throwing in money on stuff that's not being built.
George, okay, I understand what you're saying. You're basically just talking about what's on site at the subdivision. I'm talking about the infrastructure that takes it off site and goes to the regional wastewater or water facilities or the substation. That's the infrastructure I'm talking about, not the one that's on site. We have to make substantial investments in those type of facilities so that they're prepared to serve
Okay, I understand all that, okay. but that's the risk you take. I mean, that's the business you're in. You got to take certain risks. You got to have certain capacity, and those are all the things that make what you do work. So I understand.
Yeah, I understand 100%. I'm just telling you that deadlines are what results in us putting in infrastructure that's not ready to be used.
Okay.
And I don't think that's the best for the customers that we're going to serve.
Thank you.
Is there any other questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else here that would like to speak concerning this issue? There's a couple more. Mr. Dryden, do you want to come up?
Oh, ladies first.
Okay.
Always, that's right, Liz.
Good afternoon. My name is Heidi Gilmore, and I'm from the law firm of Tunnel and Razor. Just hearing some of the comments, I just wanted to share with you my perspective on the settlement side, because many of you may not have had many comments about that. What we're seeing on settlements is the beginning of signs of life of recovery. It's not fully there yet. We're still struggling with appraisals. You still have the consumers coming in. If they're a cash buyer, it's not an issue. If they need a mortgage, the property has to appraise. So the developer sells the lot for a certain price to the builder. The builder then sells to the consumer. If it doesn't appraise, you have a problem at settlement. We're not past that hurdle yet. We still have comps that are short sales. We still have foreclosures. As Mr. Moore can attest, the foreclosure statute changed this year. You're not seeing a lot of foreclosures right now because the statute changed. So I think you need a little bit more time to let the recovery fully be there before you actually let everything sunset. I can understand the good cause issue, but I think you have to be very careful to just cut it and say no more, or that it is a gift, because what's happening is no extensions are going to drive up the cost, and then you're going to not have the people being able to buy at the price point that we have right now. So if you're just going to make them reapply, you're going to drive up the cost, and you can't justify selling to people who do want to move here. So you've just cut off your basis. So, Joan, to people in your district, the response is, do they want their appraised values to return? Of course they do. The only way you can have that is to have healthy sales. Mm-hmm. So this is just saying no more, I don't think, is the answer.
And there's a chance that they could be turned down, which is what a lot of people want. That's what they want.
But
we're
an area where people want to move. We're going to be a
what?
As long as they got here now, it's okay.
That's how they are.
Well, we are a hub of New Jersey. We're a hub of Pennsylvania. We're a hub of D.C.
But I can't hear. What is that?
We're seeing people move here from New Jersey, right, from Pennsylvania, from D.C. I think you're going to see people moving here. And after 9/11, we saw a huge influx of people from the city. The Sandy storm is going to cause more people to rethink living in New Jersey, and that's a huge part of the people moving here. I see it on the settlement side. So
they're already asking about water damage.
Absolutely. So, there's an answer for it. Oh, I just don't think ending it today is the right answer.
Mm-hmm.
That's my settlement perspective for you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Ms. Gilmore. Mr. Dryden.
Skin in the game.
Mr. President.
Finally, the
honorable members of council and trusted advisors. I have some different points to make than have been made. I know you don't need duplication. I think they are.
Mr. Dryden, can you give us your full name and address,
please? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Mr. Moore. Lit Dryden, 11 Fairway Drive East, Georgetown area. I'm a realtor for about 40 years, which I've mentioned before when I've had the privilege to arrive here. And I've seen a lot of this because a lot of my emphasis has been land subdivision work and things similar to Joe Conaway, but not quite as elaborate, I'll probably add. But anyhow, I've taken this in a perspective that I've done before with council when I've raised a question and let the answers to the questions help us to make a conclusion. Before I do that, though, I want to say to Joe, I differ with you on what Joanne said to you. I don't know that she said to him exactly, not for lunch. I think she said, the better and the worse. I've had the worse. When do I get the better? You sure that's not what it was?
And then Joe said at lunch.
At lunch, okay.
That's how it went.
Well, the question was, who would be served and how, basically? And as I approach that, I find that it falls into two categories, general benefits and very specific benefits. And the specific benefits very quickly are four that I can find. Others could probably find more or less or feel that these are justified. One of them is technicians who have done work who will need to do the work again if it isn't extended, because it, obviously some of this land is going to have to be reworked in some way because this can't all go back to farm. And there's a benefit there, obviously. Existing lot owners, people who own subdivision lots, would love to see less competition, and that is the American way, but I don't know that less competition in this case on a cutoff basis right now would be the fair thing to do. But you can see where that advantage would be looked at specifically from certain people. Some others that would see special interest would be those just plain opposed to growth. It's been discussed here about the door closing, the bridge up, all this. We hear this all the time. And that may or may not be accurate here. But there are those who feel that way. And on the other side of that, the last one that I see is someone who lives at place A. There's a subdivision waiting that hasn't gone yet, and they would be opposed to that subdivision because even though they don't have ownership, they really would like that view to remain the way it is. So those are special conditions, all of which are a bit selfish, you might say. Now, who is impacted on the other side? And I have eight very quickly. And I believe that brevity is bliss, and I'll try to get this into an hour. No, I'm kidding, guys. But from the good standpoint, I have the landowner, obviously. They have a vested interest in the investment and in the ownership of the land and how they plan to use it and what they plan to do with the proceeds, et cetera. Then we have the public. And George spoke to this earlier, I think to some extent. But they would be denied the additional choice if this wasn't extended. And I say that, like there may be enough now, but the differences in price, location, specific features, size of the lot, the style, and a variety of other things, including special financing that a developer may come up with. And these would not be available if that development did not go forward and use the capitalistic approach of trying to compete with those that already exist. So that's to the good of the public. Then we have jobs on a specific basis, and the jobs would certainly help with a little bit of recovery in the area of employment on a short and middle term basis. It won't go on forever because eventually that'll be built out, but there are subcontractors who are desperately, I guess, they're the hardest impacted, the construction industry of all the various industries from this turndown we've experienced. Now, separate from that, we have the local economy. Now, the local economy is in its way through the recession, and it's not out of the recession yet, we know that. So any of this that would happen would really be a benefit. And here's one thing that is arguably accurate. Between $30,000 and $50,000 per new home that's built, now these are National Association of Realtor numbers, that's why there's a broad range there, and numbers that we have here at Sussex County Association of Realtors and Delaware Association of Realtors. We monitor this fairly carefully. It's documented, we can get this for you if you care to. Between $30,000 and $50,000 spins off on the sale of a new home. Not the same day, but over time. Limited time. Everything from new carpets, paintings, furniture, settlement costs, all the things that happen after the house is sold, basically under contract, all these things spin out that are a benefit to a variety of people who then have employees who then they also benefit, and in the long run, as I'll speak to very quickly, the state, the county, and others benefit from this. Speaking of the state, I have that next here. Transfer tax benefit, obviously income to the state. More importantly, though, reduced unemployment, which may reduce some of the dependency on Medicaid, which we know is the fastest growing single cost for the state, completely out of hand. And also the unemployment insurance payments that are made because these people are now working. So there's some benefits there. Community services, ambulance and fire. There's certain tie-ins, I believe, with funds that flow from the transaction in some way to these various necessary groups. I'm not sure about the statistics, but I believe there is a benefit there. Schools. You say, well, how in the world do schools benefit? Well, the schools would benefit on an indirect basis. A lot of the people moving here, as we've spoken to, which were the elderly, or people like myself, I don't feel elderly, but I'm 72 next month, and they say it is true, but I don't say it's true. But anyhow, these folks don't have children in the system, but still pay the same tax. So the schools become a basic beneficiary if we can attract more people, or if more people are attracted to Sussex County that don't have people in the system. Let's see here. Last but not least is our good old county right here. Transfer tax is an obvious point. A better and healthier economy. I don't know that this, and this is maybe a stretch, but even crime with people working and not being quite as desperate or being active and busy may just reduce a little bit of that. Now, that's certainly nothing that I'm going to hang a hat on, but I believe that would be a potential positive result. So for these reasons, I was able to reach a conclusion, and hearing comments today only reinforced it, that the three-year extension to give the market a chance to come back a little bit more so that financing can be found after the banks decide they're willing to lend, and then to move forward with the sales process and the investment process. I can't see any really realistic, logical negatives to going forward with the extension. And I thank you for your time, and I'll wait a second if you have questions. If not, I shall return to my seat.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Dryden.
Thank you very much.
Is there anyone else that would like to speak in regard to the proposed ordinances? Anyone else that would like to speak? Mr. President, seeing none at this point, we can conclude the public hearing on this matter, and the council can then either act on the matters or if they prefer to keep the public record open and do that.
Well, we will close public hearing. Is there anyone who wants to keep public record open?
Nope.
No.
We'll close public record, close public hearing, and we will read the short title. And I guess you need to read one, but I mean, I assume we'd read the one that planning and zoning suggested versus they did not. I'll
yes.
Start with
yeah,
there.
What I will do first is...
Wait a minute, hold up, Mrs. Deaver. You have a question?
Yes, I do have some questions about some things that we. I need something recapped. When can I do that? What planning and zoning said, what they voted on. I just want to have that recapped. Their decision was, one, two, three. We got three.
Blanket, they want, Mr. Robertson, if you come forward.
Blanket. Well, they didn't want the blanket 3 years, did they?
Yeah,
their decision.
The planning and zoning's recommendation was to recommend approval of the ordinance that gave a blanket extension, with the additional recommendation that it be changed from 1 year to 3 years, so it would expire on January 1st of 2016.
It would be three new years.
Yes, 3 new years. From here. Retroactive back to
January 1st
okay,
of 2013.
That's what I wanted to be sure of. Okay, thank you very much.
And it was my recollection that when this ordinance was originally introduced, it had the 1 year period in it, which was January 1 of 2014, was it not, Mr.
That's
Robertson?
Correct.
So it's pretty much an extension of that ordinance,
right.
Really.
So what would need to occur first, there would need to be, if it was council's desire to change the date in the, amend the proposed ordinance, if you wanted to follow planning and zoning's advice to January 1 of 2016, and then vote on the ordinance as amended.
Could I make that motion?
Second. Okay. We're okay with you guys?
Mm-hmm.
Have a seat. We have a motion to amend the proposed ordinance with a date of retroactive to January 1, 2013, and expiring on January 1, 2016. Is that correct, Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
And I just want to make sure, I'm going to read the short title to the ordinance to make sure that this is the one that's being, you're proposing the amendment, is an ordinance providing for the additional temporary extension of time for subdivision applications, conditional use applications, and residential planned community districts. And the motion that's being voted on is strictly to extend the date to January 1, 2016.
Correct. Okay, we have a motion, Mr. Phillips, second, Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote on the amendment first, Mrs. Deaver.
No, it's excessive. In our district, we've got building everywhere. We've got homes sold before they were even built, we also, if we were to extend like that. We'll find ourselves building, say, for instance, in 2016, something that was planned 6 years or seven, 8 years ago. Things are, we can do better than that. There have been so many changes in those years, so many better ways to build homes and design communities. So we're leaving ourselves open to something that really doesn't even suit us anymore. And as far as, you know, I'm not opposed to an extension, but that's too far. And it's kind of like the blind leading the blind. We don't even know which ones they are. We don't know if they're under construction, underway, or they've done anything. So it's, no, I can't vote for that.
Cole.
Well, I didn't like the first time we did this. I thought it was just smoke and mirrors. I think I don't think we've done anything to impact jobs or the economy of this county. It's funny, everybody says that, you know, that seems to get a little skin in the game. They go, oh, the economy's turning around, but I think the general perception is it's not turning around. It's kind of just laying there flat. I see the snowballs rolling down the hill. And it's probably going to get approved. The first one got approved, and this one will get reinstated. I think 3 years is too long to continue this charade. But I'll vote yes, just to show that to my Mr. Wilson that I he agreed with me earlier today, and I'm going to agree with him in this afternoon. So will it work? Will it do anything? But I'll vote yes.
Mr. Phillips.
I'll vote yes based on the testimony today, the record, and vote by planning and zoning. I think it's obvious that this is something that can help our local economy.
Wilson.
I'm going to vote yes, and be honest with you. I don't know what this has got to do, if anything, about homes being built better or worse. Naturally, things are going to move up, and the land certainly doesn't have anything to do with it. So I'll vote yes.
Based on the recommendation of planning and zoning, I'll also vote yes. That the amendment's carried. Now then, Mr. Moore, we have to have a motion to approve the ordinance as amended.
That is correct. It's an ordinance providing for the additional temporary extension of time for subdivision applications, conditional use applications, and residential plan community districts as amended, which would have the date till January 1 of 2016, and as it was previously stated in the ordinance, that it applied retroactively to January 1 of 2013.
Entertain a motion. So motion, Mr. Phillips. Second, Mr. Wilson. Any question on this motion? Mm-mm. We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
I would have voted for another year, but not as stated, no. Mm-mm.
Mr. Cole.
There is a perception that this will work, so I'll vote yes based on that perception.
Mr. Phillips.
I'll vote yes based on the record and recommendation, planning and zoning, and the obvious fact that this will have a positive impact on our local economy.
Mr. Wilson.
I vote yes on recommendations, P&G, and I don't really see where land really changed anyway. Wait 1 year or 2 years.
And you agree with George Cole?
And also, I agree with George Cole. Thank you, George.
Just wanted to remind you.
Remind me, George, we got the three votes already. Don't need me.
I'll send the people to you when they come to me about it.
I also will agree with planning and zoning's thoughts. I think we need to try all we can to help anything move forward. I don't see where it hurts anything. Also vote yes, motion carried. A motion to adjourn.
Do we have to?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Hold up. Wait a minute.
Do we have to deny the other?
Yes.
I
will read the short title, an ordinance providing for the additional temporary extension of time for subdivision applications, conditional use applications, and residential plan community districts with a provision for further extension upon written request. And this is the ordinance that was denied by planning and zoning.
Entertain a motion.
Make a motion we deny that ordinance.
Got it.
Motion, Mr. Cole, second, Mr. Wilson.
To deny it?
Don't they have to be in the affirmative or not?
Has to be in the affirmative.
It's been the practice. I don't believe there's a requirement, but it's been the practice as traditionally in the positive, and then you could vote no.
Mr. Cole,
I'll make a motion that we approve it.
Mr. Phillips, you'll second that motion. Any question on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver.
Well, for what it's worth, I like that one. I would vote yes.
Cole.
I'm only doing this if Sam Wilson doesn't get confused. I'll have to vote no
on the, Mr. Phillips?
I'll vote no.
Mr. Wilson?
I vote no.
I vote no. Motion defeated.
He didn't get confused.
Now entertain a motion for adjournment.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Cole, second. Mr. Phillips, any questions? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yeah.
Mr. Wilson. Oh, yes, motion carried. We're adjourned. Thank you all very much.